Hi, welcome to a StanLib Economic Podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the Chief Economist within StanLib. In this podcast, we're quickly going to focus on the decision by the Financial Action Task Force to remove South Africa from the grey list. Obviously, a good outcome. If you remember back in February 23, we were put on the grey list simply because the Financial Action Task Force felt that South Africa was not doing enough to deal with money laundering and also not putting in place sufficient mechanisms to deal with counter-terrorism financing and also the prosecution of various complicated financial crimes. And so we were given a whole list of tasks or areas to improve. In total, they amounted to 22 action items. And it's taken us 33 months to complete those tasks, but we've got there and we've been removed from the grey list. There were other countries that were also removed today. If I look at what the Financial Action Task Force put out, they said Burkina Faso, Mozambique, and Nigeria have also completed all their action items, and so they were also removed from the task, from the grey list. The 33 months that we spent on the grey list, I think that's more or less a normal time period. I went back and looked at Tanzania. They spent 33 months on the list. Nigeria, yes, they did a bit better. They were on the list for 25 months. But then Mozambique was on for 37 months and Burkina Faso was on for 57 months. So I think 33 is more or less the type of time that you're likely to stay on these lists. And if I look at how many countries are still grey listed, it's a total of 20 countries, and then I think there are three countries that are so-called blacklisted. Not ideal to be on the grey list because obviously it undermines confidence, investor confidence. It also adds a significant layer of cost to doing business, particularly when it comes to offshore transactions, because all of the offshore parties need a lot more additional information from South African companies or South African investors in order to do the or put the transaction in place. So by removing us from the grey list, I think it will do two important things. One is it should reduce the cost and therefore the time delay in doing offshore transactions, and that would be very welcome. So effectively, it makes it a bit easier to do business. And the second is that it boosts confidence. It doesn't just boost foreign confidence, it also boosts domestic business confidence, and hopefully that confidence spills over into the household sector. And South Africa's level of confidence remains fairly low by historical standards, so we could certainly do with the uplift. The other factor, which I guess is more just a psychological, but it's an important factor, and that is that for South Africa being a G20 country, it's not great to be on the grey list. We're the president of the G20 for this year. We're hosting the G20 summit next month, and to be on the grey list under those circumstances is obviously less than ideal. So I think it's a very welcome development, and I'm hoping that together with a range of other activities and developments of private-public partnerships that we can go into 2026 on a firmer footing and that we can start to see some uplift in South Africa's growth that takes us beyond the 1% growth. I don't think we're quite doing enough to get to 2 or 3% GDP growth, but I've got a sense that there are some positive developments in the background, and I think we'll see more of that during the course of next year. I think that during that time, we'll probably, hopefully, get another interest rate cut. I'm hoping the world economy settles down a bit after all of the geopolitics we've had this year. And so I'm looking forward to a more prosperous 2026. And this is certainly welcome news within that context. Thanks a lot. We'll chat soon.